For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of the show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you're getting the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, military veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT and get free activation when you use offer code Dana. Join me and make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Question about the president's age often go hand in hand with questions about how you would step in the role, you know, if necessary. Do you feel prepared for that possibility? And serving as vice president prepared you for that job?
Yes.
And how would you, you know, describe that process?
Which process?
Like as far as, you know, being ready for that. For that.
Well, first of all, I'm answering your hypothetical. Mm-hmm. But Joe Biden's going to be fine. Right. So that is not going to come to fruition. But let us also understand that every vice president understands that when they take the oath, that they must be very clear about the responsibility they may have to take over the job of being president. I am no different.
I don't even like her talking about this. It just creeps me out. I don't even like the conversation about it. I don't want her speculating. I don't want her talking about, well, this is what would happen if, you know, we were to, if something, I don't like any of it. Welcome to the show. Top of this first hour on Wednesday. It's weird. It's always weird when we have like an extended weekend and it's at the start of the week because then the rest of the week feels off. But we're going to get you set up with a bunch of stuff, including we're going to get into some of the 2024 stuff. You got to be careful with the polls out there. There's so much garbage. Don't trust a single national poll. I've been telling you this. It's all about the delegates at this point. We're also going to get into whatever that was yesterday with the ceremony, the medal ceremony that was for retired Army Captain Larry Taylor. This is a Vietnam veteran. He got a Medal of Honor, right? And then Biden just walks out. It was weird. He just walks right out. And then, of course, there was the discussion with the masks and all of that. We'll get into it. So a lot to hit today. But on that ceremony, though, I know you guys saw that video. It was weird because he was giving this, you know, Medal of Honor to this Vietnam War veteran. And it was just, and this was right after the news came out that the First Lady had tested positive for coronavirus and that Joe Biden didn't have. He took his mask on. This was after the press. This is after Karine Jean-Pierre was talking yesterday about the masking policies, the whole masking policies that they have whenever someone tests positive. You know, whenever they test positive in the White House, this is what their policies are. And apparently, I guess they don't follow those themselves, so to speak. So it was kind of weird to see that. And then he just, after he awarded this veteran with the medal, then he just kind of like wandered away. Just literally just walked away, walked right down the aisle. It was odd. I mean, in fact, we got some of the, this is audio, audio soundbite 6,000, please. And there he goes. And he's off. Baseballs, the presidency. It is. And I mean, the reactions. So one of the things that I did yesterday, because apparently I had way too much time on my hands. One of the things that I did yesterday was I went through and I was looking at the faces of the people in the audience. And the video is very quick because he gives them the medal and then he just walks away. And you have Captain Taylor, who's standing up there on stage still like, I guess I stay here. Like, what do I do? And Biden just walks away. He just wanders right away. And the people in the audience, they had this totally wild expression on their faces. Like, did we just see what we saw? This is so weird. Why did he just... It was hysterical to watch their reactions. But this coupled with the Kamala Harris soundbite that I just played for you as we started the show, it creeps me out. I don't like any of it because I don't want that woman in the White House. I mean, I don't want Biden there either, but I mean, my gosh, definitely don't want Kamala Harris there either. But it just is, it just doesn't look good. He was blasted and saying that he has zero respect. He said it was said that his action was very, very disrespectful to walk out. A lot of veterans. They said that the phrase was a, quote, startling lack of respect. In fact, there were some retired Navy SEALs out there saying, pardon my French, but what a blanking idiot. The continuous lack of respect. I mean, going on and on and on and on and on. A lot of veterans weighing in on social media about this. Most of the comments, especially those from the SEALs, I can't repeat on air. But it was wild. Did he not know the protocol? I just can't imagine that him not being there and not knowing what the protocol was with something like this. He seemed like it didn't look like it was a pre-planned thing, just because, it seemed to even surprise his staff. I don't know if he just thought that it was supposed to be what he was doing. It just looked awkward. It looked really weird and it looked unplanned and it looked weird. And I think it kind of, and because Taylor's story, he was on the ground for like 45 minutes taking intense fire. I mean, intense ground fire. He was doing these low-level attack runs. And because the enemy was surrounding U.S. forces, it was a two-man Cobra helicopter. And what he did, apparently it had never been attempted or even accomplished during a period of war like this. He completely disregarded his own personal safety like a hero would, and he braved enemy gunfire and helping our forces. And it was, it's an amazing story. And Biden gives some opening remarks and then he left. I mean, you have this hero standing on stage and he just leaves them there on stage. It looked weird. It looked really weird. To say nothing of the fact that his wife just tested for coronavirus. And I'm not arguing for masks. I mean, if that's what the White House wants to do and they want to go ahead and disregard all the stuff that they've been saying about masks, I'm all for it. Let's do it. But you can't sit here and browbeat people into accepting, I think they're floating the idea of potential mandates again. You can't browbeat people into this mask stuff and then disregard it yourself in the White House. I mean, this is one of the problems that people have with this administration is the complete lack of consistency. If you're telling everybody else that if you're making it to where kids have to mask up in school because one kid tested positive for the flu and everyone's freaking out about these variants. And we talked to Dr. Robert Malone yesterday about this, and you can find our discussion with him, the full discussion up on YouTube as well. I also sent it out to you, those subscribers to Substack, Chapter and Verse. But if we're proposing now to mask kids in schools, then if the president of the United States, who was just at his beach house with his wife all weekend, she tests positive for coronavirus. And what if he has it? And then he's next to this. I'm just saying that's what Democrats apparently, they don't believe any of their own rhetoric about this. We're going to talk more about it. We got to get at some of this other stuff that we're looking in, some 2024 stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this. I'm going to get into the Christie stuff, but the polling on this is why I wish that the former president would be really careful when he talks about election fraud and irregularities and things of that nature, because this reminds me of what happened with Georgia's special election big time. So I was looking at this as a couple of different polls to look at. The Wall Street Journal poll, I'm a little less inclined to take seriously. Again, I think national polls are garbage at this point, especially because most of them are conducted by polling firms that are run by surrogates or donors or operatives of people who are working with different campaigns. And one of the ones with the Wall Street Journal poll is no different. That's a guy that works with the Trump campaign and has for a long time. That's kind of par for the course. It's one of the reasons why you can't really put a lot of stock, at least at this early on, and a lot of these national polls, yes, they'll partner with someone, but that does not, that's not an argument to for fairness. And also, it doesn't matter what national polls are at this point because it's a delegates game. So there's one poll. I was reading a USA Today piece, and here's where I really wish that he would be very, very careful with his wording. The reason I say this is because the if you're saying that elections are stolen, you can't also expect people to show up. Because with this, amongst non-voters, and these are registered non-voters, it's a significant enough of a percentage that indicates that you have people who wouldn't show up to vote. They're Republican, registered Republican voters, but they wouldn't show up to vote because they don't think that their vote would count. And this is where I want to pull my hair out, and I wish that he would be very careful with his language, because the last thing that you want is to get into a another major election and then have registered Republican voters stay home. Because in Georgia, with the special election, the Senate, which ultimately went Democrat because of that special election, everything came down to that seat, remember? And the former president, Trump, was out there saying that, his language, well, from I was in Georgia, went to Georgia. I was trying to help get the vote out. And I had people telling me that they didn't want to. I had a lot of people telling me that they didn't want to go out and vote because they didn't. They thought, oh, it's going to be stolen anyway. I'm like, where are you hearing this? And they said the president. And then what's his face? Lynn Wood, that circus sideshow who was out there also at different rallies telling people to stay home. I mean, literally, I was there with my own two feet in Georgia trying to get people to get out to vote. And that's what a lot of people were telling me. And I was just, I could not believe what I was hearing, because ultimately it was a lack of turnout that cost us the Senate. I want you to realize that. We lost the Senate. It was a special election in Georgia, and it was a lack of turnout that lost it. And in fact, one of the greatest deficits in turnout came from Marjorie Taylor Greene's district, one of the most conservative districts in Georgia. My point is that you got to be really careful with language on this stuff. And so this just reminds me so much of Georgia. They said registered voters who say they aren't likely to go to the polls. There's a significant number of them. I mean, it's up toward like almost like 15%. And then they have people who are eligible to vote but haven't registered. And a lot of these people who say they aren't going to go to the polls, they back Trump. Registered voters who say they aren't going to go to the polls, they actually support Trump over Biden. And it's at least double digit percentage points. Oh my gosh. But they said they think that it's not going to matter. And when asked about it, and exit polling, by the way, in Georgia for that special election, this is what also came up in exit polling data. There were several different waves of this, and they were all the same. They were saying that they think that there's problems with the integrity of the election, so there's no point in them voting. Oh my gosh. You can't do this. We cannot do this. We've got to be really careful with the language here. It was the Suffolk University political, there's director of Suffolk University Political Research was the guy who carried this out. And he was saying, you got to be careful what you wish for, because the people who actually do support him don't believe that there's any point actually turning out, at least according to this poll. You can't shoot yourself in the foot like this. We got a lot to discuss still. We got more 2024, Chris Christie. Yeah, big fun's mad. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get into some of the culture stuff. Law and Order and Liberty Safe admits to giving the feds an access code to a gun safe during a raid on a January 6th subject. As students begin heading back to school, do you think they'll be learning about the founding principles that made America the freest and most prosperous nation in history? Will they learn that our unalienable rights are God-given and not granted by government? Will they be given a full and honest account of our nation's history? The answer to all of these questions is yes for students at Hillsdale College. In addition to teaching college students, Hillsdale has extended its teaching to K-12 students and lifelong learners like you. If you're not doing so already, one of the best ways to start learning from the folks at Hillsdale is through Imprimis, Hillsdale's free digest of liberty. You can sign up for free at this special website for a limited time at dana4hillsdale.com. And you can look forward to Imprimis each month. It's interesting, useful, and free. And it's one of the best and smartest in conservative constitutionalist thought. Find out more about Hillsdale College and sign up for Imprimis at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the Stones have their first studio album in 18 years called Hackney Diamonds. That's actually was a bit of it that we played coming in. They're preparing to release their first album of original material in 18 years since A Bigger Bang from 05. The group apparently, I guess, they live streamed it. They're live streaming it exclusively today, the event where they're, I guess, previewing the rest of the album. But they said this means, too, there's going to be a tour probably, right? I don't know. I mean, it's without Charlie Watts, and I don't know. Like, I'm made of opinions because I dig the Stones, but I also love blues-based rock, and I don't know. Like, I was talking about the guitar tone. I don't want to, you know, being that I'm a horrible rhythm guitar player, so I don't feel like, I don't know. Anyway, it's a whole other subject. I'm torn about this. Steve and I were, like, about ready to dive into a big old conversation about it before we actually came back on air. All right, so a review. This seems kind of obvious. A review of over 1,000 studies indicates that exercise can actually be more effective than counseling or medication for depression. Well, duh. I mean, just the endorphins and all the good stuff that your body releases when you're working out. I just know that it's cathartic. I mean, if I'm, you know, throwing weights around, I feel so much better afterwards. And I feel, you know, like less like tearing off people's limbs and beating them with them for saying something stupid on the internet. It's good for you. Go out and do it. No, I mean, lift weights. Don't do what I just, not the latter thing. I feel like I need to clarify that. The U.S. says 52 million airbag inflators should be recalled over a rupture threat. Oh, great. So the U.S. auto safety regulator said that 52 million of these, they were supplied by ARC Automotive and Delphi Automotive. They have to be recalled because it could rupture, metal fragments could fly, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They said that they've been used in vehicles from 2000 through early 2018 from GM, Ford, Toyota, Hyundai, Kia, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, Volkswagen, basically all of them, all the cars. So just look it up. Go look it up because you might be affected. Nobody wants shards of metal. Nobody wants anything like that. Gary Busey was apparently involved in a hit-and-run accident in Malibu. What a California headline. Very California headline. And Texas Republicans are putting Ken Paxton on. He's going on, has this trial that he's kind of a witch. It's a witch hunt, too. The Republican firebrand AG of Texas. He's facing these goofy charges of corruption and abuse of public trust. It's his impeachment trial. It kicked off yesterday. Yeah, that's what they're doing instead of lowering property taxes. Yeah. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
We shouldn't be playing politics with this stuff. But Governor DeSantis has always played politics with this. He voted against Sandy Aid in 2012 as a member of the House, and now he wants aid. You know, this is the hypocrisy that everybody sees in politics.
Yeah, well, there's some hypocrisy there in what Chris Christie's talking about. Tons of funds, big man. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Of course, you can listen coast to coast in a market near you. And you can also watch the simulcast of the radio program as well. YouTube, Facebook, always good discussion at YouTube, as well as from Channel 347 DirecTV. So Chris Christie's mad. He's still mad because of the Hurricane Sandy aid thing. When you had a lot of conservatives in the House that were upset with the amount of the millions and millions and millions of dollars of pork that was in the bill, right? I mean, here's the thing. Why was there millions of dollars for the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. in the Hurricane Sandy bill? Anybody want to elaborate? Anyone want to explain that? Does Chris Christie want to explain that? Why were taxpayers told that in order to make hurricane victims from Hurricane Sandy feel good that we had to put millions of dollars into the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. Anybody? Because that's the kind of stuff that was in that bill. That's why actual limited government conservatives, including the Florida governor who was in the House at the time, voted against it. I talked about this on air. I broke this bill down for you on air. Over two-thirds of it. Ted Cruz was wrong because it was over two-thirds of this bill was pork. They were using it as a slush fund for every special interest they could. I mean, why was there, just let me throw this out, why was there, because we all know where New Jersey is, right? Everybody knows where Hurricane Sandy hit, right? New Jersey's on the eastern seaboard. It's on the east coast of the United States. So why was the amount of $150 million for fisheries in Alaska and Mississippi included in the Hurricane Sandy bill? That Chris Christie is pissed that Ron DeSantis, when he was in the House, didn't vote for. I wouldn't have voted for it either. In fact, I would have been mad at anyone who claimed to be a conservative who voted for this thing. Because, again, two-thirds plus of it was pork. It was special interest spending from people who were using it as a free-for-all. And it was mostly Democrats, although there were some Republicans in there, too. I'm just very curious, like, what did the hurricane in New Jersey do to fisheries in Alaska? Does Chris Christie want to explain that? I mean, I'm curious. I mean, he was mad because they didn't pass it as was. He was mad. Chris Christie is mad because grassroots conservatives in the House at the time, like DeSantis and other people who are a part of the Tea Party / House Freedom Caucus, they were questioning, why is this so big? Why is there so much money in this thing? Why is so much of this aid going to, I mean, you're looking at $60 billion. Why is so much of this going to all this other stuff that has nothing to do with Hurricane Sandy aid? And it was crazy because all the people who were demanding, pass it now, they couldn't actually explain that. This is when John Boehner was running the House. I remember this fight. I remember it because Boehner was saying, he was House Speaker at the time. He's like, No. We're going to get this $60 billion aid package. We're going to get it going. And he was working with Peter King, a Republican out of New York. And then they got into a fight. King said that Boehner put a knife in all their backs. I mean, it's crazy. They had a big old fight over this. And then they had to deal with what Boehner was afraid of. Boehner didn't want to deal with the narrative that, oh, the House Republicans are gutting the Hurricane Sandy package and then being accused of not caring about hurricane victims, because that's what Democrats were playing at, even though it was Democrats who decided to load up a hurricane aid package with literally, I mean, do you want me to go through some of this stuff? Because you got the fisheries, the John F. Kennedy Space Center. I mean, I don't know why they were getting millions of dollars, because they have nothing to do with Hurricane Sandy. I don't know why that was. Good heavens. I mean, there's so much, like $8 million for new vehicles for federal agencies. Why was that in this bill? See, that's what Chris Christie doesn't understand. And he has the audacity to call anybody else other than himself big government. Big Fun, who shut down the beaches. And then went on his, and then literally sat on his beach after shutting down his beaches. And then when he was asked by the press about it, he was like, well, own beachfront property. That guy? Good grief. I mean, I guess people suffering from coming back from hurricanes in New Jersey probably are going to come back faster if $150 million is given to fisheries like in Alaska, or $8 million for new cars for federal agencies, or millions to the John F. Kennedy Space Center nowhere near New Jersey, or in the line of the hurricane. I mean, oh my gosh, this is the type of stuff that was in this. I remember this very well. And Chris Christie joined Democrats at the time and was accusing Republicans of not caring about Hurricane Sandy victims because they just didn't rubber stamp it. He didn't care if there was all this pork in there. He didn't care. He showed up. He kissed the ring. He had his photo op with Barack Obama. I don't think you can forget that. That actually ended up hurting him. It wasn't just that he was showing him around. He was eager to get some of that celebrity shine. You know, he went and he had his photo op with Barack Obama. Meanwhile, Ron DeSantis is dispatching, like overlooking the dispatch of crews and talking to different mayors and different town, different area leaders, seeing what was needed. He didn't have time for a photo op. And let's be real, it was a photo op from Joe Biden. Joe Biden didn't even know where the hell he was. Joe Biden showed up and gave a speech about climate change and tried to browbeat everyone into giving more of their hard-earned dollars so that the U.S. government can fling it into the sun, wink, wink, stuff it in their pockets. And they wanted to use the backs of the people suffering in Florida as the means to do it. And DeSantis didn't want to play at it. And Chris Christie's mad. Chris Christie's mad because someone didn't bend a knee to Democrats. It's a day that ends in Y. I mean, when I see him opine on stuff like this, I'm like, who asked this guy to weigh in on anything? And to see Chris Christie act like the bouncer of conservatism, the man doesn't even know what it means. I remember what it means. I remember being in an event and not wanting to be in a photo with him because I didn't like him as a politician. We remember, like actual limited government constitutionalists, we remember. So for him to run his mouth like this, I mean, good grief. We talked at length as to what was in this bill. Has he forgotten? I mean, did he ever answer as to why he didn't care about cutting the pork out of it? Did he ever answer as to why he was siding with Democrats on this? No, he's helping Democrats once again by saying, oh, my gosh, DeSantis didn't want, he doesn't, can you believe it? Like, his state needs help. Now, actually, DeSantis, from what I remember, they were saying, no, we got it covered because we're able to responsibly manage our money. So we have a budget surplus. We're doing well. And we don't really need the strings attached to these federal funds, because that's the other thing no one's talking about. When Joe Biden comes with the promise of federal funds, it's not just, you know, here's some money, no strings attached. There's strings attached to it every single time. Well, you have to meet, you know, this, whether it's ESG, whether it's climate, quote unquote, climate change requirements, something is always required or attached to the funding. And Florida didn't want to play at that. And they're used to this. They're like, we can handle it. We're good. And so the media didn't know what to do. I don't know. Maybe Chris Christie was at his second lunch and he missed that. I don't know. But the idea that people voted against the Hurricane Sandy aid for anything other than all of the ridiculous amounts of wasteful spending that had nothing to do with hurricane relief that Democrats decided to tack onto that bill to inflate it to $60 billion. It is inexcusable, it is malicious, and it is dishonest for anyone, particularly Chris Christie, to get angry at anybody for that. Get mad at the Democrats who decided to inflate it instead of running cover for them. At what point is he going to change the letter after his name? Good grief. Now, a couple of other things to touch on. Liberty Safe is getting some criticism because they gave the FBI a customer's access code. So Liberty Safe, you know, they're a big, I mean, they have all different kinds of safes, right? And there was an investigation into one of a J6 suspect. And this suspect, I guess, they were raiding his house and they were conducting this investigation. So they had asked Liberty Safe for, apparently they made repeated requests, according to Liberty Safe in a statement that they gave earlier today on social media. But it was this guy named Nathan Earl Hughes. He had four charges pending against him, including a felony account of interfering with police during a civil disorder. And this is from Arkansas. And they had arrested him. The feds raided his place. And the feds called the manufacturer of his Liberty gun safe, and they got the passcode to get into it. Now, there's an electronic keypad on some of these, and it allows, you know, I guess if there's a battery fail, which I don't even understand why, you know, if you have a battery fail, you have keys to the safe. So I've got some questions, but I don't know if the access code that Liberty Safe has is unique to each safe, or if they just have like a one size kind of fits all, like a, some kind of default, I don't know. But apparently it allows you to get into, if it's the same model, any Liberty Safe. And so they said that they had asked, and they put this up, they had put this up on social media. In their statement, they said, this is on August 30th, they said Liberty Safe was contacted by the FBI requesting the access code to the safe of an individual for whom they had a warrant to search their property. Our company protocol is to provide access codes to law enforcement if a warrant grants them access to a property. After receiving the request, we received the proof of valid warrant, and only then did we provide them with the access code. Liberty Safe had no knowledge of any of the details surrounding the investigation at the time. They said that they are devoted to protecting the personal property and Second Amendment rights of customers, et cetera, et cetera. Blah, blah, blah. They have a bunch of other stuff that is kind of irrelevant to the rest of this story. So my... I mean, it's so the FBI had a warrant for the property, and it wasn't a warrant specifically for the safe, which I guess would fall under property. But I just, I've got a lot of questions because it makes me uncomfortable that anyone would keep access codes to get into any safe. And I get, you know, I understand the premise that, yes, you know, what if there's, you know, battery fail, but that's what the keys are for, right? I mean, I just, we're going to talk more about this because now, because the company, when they put this statement out, they disabled comments. Yeah, it's not going real well for Liberty Safe today. So we're going to talk, more about this because there's a couple of things in here that's like, that are wrapped up in this in addition to 2A. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of the show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you're getting the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, military veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT and get free activation when you use offer code Dana. Join me and make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Ever heard of Goldilocks? Remember, bad news is not good news. No matter what they claim to say about Bidenomics, unemployment is still rising, wages remain stagnant, and job numbers are now revised. There's still no soft landing with this plane. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
President Biden tested negative last night for COVID-19 and tested negative again today. He's not experiencing any symptoms. As far as the steps he is taking, since the president was with the First Lady yesterday, he will be masking while indoors and around people in alignment with CDC guidance. And he, as has been the practice in the past, the president will remove his mask when sufficiently distanced from others indoors and while outside as well.
So he's going to wear the mask indoors, except when giving a Medal of Honor award to a Vietnam veteran recipient, except that, except then, right? Apparently. See, that's the thing. There's no consistency here. That was just yesterday. That was Karine Jean-Pierre just saying this yesterday. Oh, yeah, he's going to be wearing a mask indoors. Well, he was indoors at that ceremony and he didn't wear his mask then. So I'm just, you know, I'm kind of curious here. How, I mean, there's no consistency here. That's what people get upset about, by the way. And they, when they don't see any consistency, then they wonder, well, I guess you don't take it seriously. I mean, that's kind of what people think, that you don't take it seriously. I'm just wondering. It just was such a weird, it was a really weird ceremony. It really was. Just the way that he had acted, I can see why people thought it was like disrespectful. And he doesn't look well. If he doesn't even know that he should stay on stage and just not leave the guy up there, Now, coming up, interest on our national debt is about to become unsustainable. Watch this get used and mushed into some kind of leverage for Democrats to use in this budget battle that we're walking into in Congress, because if they don't act, then government's going to shut down. And I really don't even have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with any of that at all. Also, 75% of federal buildings are empty. So, but you know that we're still paying for those, right? I'm like, why are they still empty? And can we sell them? Like, how does that work? Can we lease them out? I mean, why don't they put any of those, the individuals who are coming over illegally? Why doesn't the government, why doesn't Biden just have them go into these federal buildings then, instead of going into these bougie hotels in New York? We'll get into all of that as well. And also some law and order. We were talking about Liberty Safe just a little bit ago because they gave the feds this access code. I don't know if it's like some ubiquitous code, just depending on the model or what, or if it's unique to each safe. But it was a raid on a January 6th suspect. And now there's a lot of questions as to, okay, well, is it a safe if anybody can get into it, really? I don't know. And why would they even need to do that? Like, why would even the manufacturer of the safe need to be involved? I mean, if the feds wanted to get in, couldn't they just cut into the safe? I'm just, you got a million questions. So we're going to get into that. And there's also one guy who was sentenced to 22 years for his actions in January 6th. Meanwhile, Chicago criminals are getting the green light to rob and to loot and to steal and to assault. I watched a video unintentionally yesterday of a guy who beat a woman with a club in broad daylight. She was a 60-year-old woman, and he just attacked her in broad daylight, beat her with a club. Meanwhile, you know, political opponents. There's a lot there. So we're going to get into all of that. The economy, we got culture, we got all kinds of stuff to touch on. So we're going to get into all of that and a lot more, and all the latest with 2024 too. And we got Florida Man coming up in our second hour. So you don't want to miss Florida Man either. In the meantime, make sure you sign up. Substack, Chapter and Verse. There's a lot of good stuff that comes out there. I had some good stuff that came out there last night. You can go and do that while we take these couple of minutes. Go refill your sody or your coffee, your Black Rifle coffee, and then rejoin, because we got to talk about this Liberty Safe stuff. I mean, is it a safe if anybody can get into it? Stick with us. You've heard me rave about the Kel-Tec KSG shotgun for a long time, and the fact is, I cannot say enough good things about it. I mean, the KSG is the one that started it all, made ordinary shotguns obsolete, and still reigns supreme. But the big reason I keep raving about it is I'm also the proud owner of one, at least. And trust me, I really put the KSG to the test before adding it to my collection. It's perfect for home defense or tactical situations, and this 12-gauge is a reliable go-to that's easy to handle for everyone. The KSG shotgun is the first 12-gauge pump-action shotgun chambered for 3-inch shells, and with dual-tube magazines, offers a capacity of 12+1. Its downward shell ejection makes the KSG truly ambidextrous and ejects shells away from your face. It's compact, lightweight, and easy to maneuver and control. Learn more about the KSG shotgun at KeltecWeapons.com and follow Kel-Tec on social media. Visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com.
I want people to know that everything that they've experienced, that I'm certainly not the first trans person to ever be attacked by elements in the media, to be used. And unfortunately, I don't think I'll be the last, but I want people to know that it's never okay for that kind of scrutiny on a person just because of their identity, just because I'm trans. And I hope that, you know, even if there's one person out there that feels that their identity is being attacked, that it's okay to be who they are. And it's never okay to be attacked on their identity, whether it's because of their race, their gender identity, their sexual orientation, religion, or creed. That every day that they can be themselves is a good day for us all.
Oh, my gosh. So this MSNBC talking to this dude, because it's a dude. That's a dude who is discussing his the suit that's against that's going on with Kappa Kappa Gamma. I know y'all heard of the story. First off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. And we're at the top of our second hour here. And this story, Because, you know, like everybody's going back to school and, you know, isn't it Bama Rush Week or something like that, or their rush period? And so there was a lawsuit that was filed by 7 sorority sisters of Kappa Kappa Gamma. And they are upset because this dude joined their sorority. And the dude joined, it was like kind of forcibly. Like it was sort of forced on them and they weren't really given a choice. See, choices are arbitrary for women, apparently. The sisters wrote that they were blindsided by this at this university when this guy was allowed to join. They said they brought up privacy and safety concerns and they were either told to be quiet or they would have to change their definition of a woman. And this is at the University of Wyoming. They allege that he would stare silently at them as they changed, became visibly aroused, asked repeated, nonstop, intimate questions of the young women. And if they, you know, apparently because they felt uncomfortable with this, as anybody would, they were called bigots and told that they were attacking him because he's transgender. He's accused of taking photos without their permission at a slumber party, asking them what their genitals look like, all kinds of stuff. All of these girls are saying that this is what that they had to deal with. And he is already been on the record saying that he's still attracted to women. Because remember, the whole trans issue is what you identify as, but not necessarily what you're attracted to. And so they said that this individual, this guy, he's been making them feel entirely uncomfortable for quite a long time. And the sister said that the sorority changed its criteria to allow him to apply. The lawyer said that, well, you know, the definition of a woman has changed. It's evolved. And that the term is open to interpretations. And they accuse the women who feel uncomfortable and vulnerable of being bigots. They're smearing them is what it is. And it is just, I mean, oh my gosh. There's like so many of these like stories that they have of this guy. Bottom line though, is this is a sorority and they shouldn't have to accommodate this dude. They shouldn't have to accommodate this guy. And that's what gets me with this, because women are always told you have to accommodate the guy. If the guy feels uncomfortable, then that's, you know, he's got to be accommodated. But if the woman feels uncomfortable, then she's a bigot and you're being ignorant to this guy. You're being discriminatory, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, this guy's name is Artemis Langford. And, you know, the audio that we played for you, he was on MSNBC. And they portrayed these women as, you know, these horrible bigots. That's how they portrayed them. They're horrible, horrible, mean bigots. And he's just this guy who's, oh, bless his heart, he's just, you know, going through all of this stuff. And they're so mean. But, I mean, when you look at the series of allegations that they have made, these sworn statements, this is wild. You know what gets me? You know, I was talking to my son who's in college, and he was saying that, oh, yeah, we had to watch this, you know, video about Title IX and all this stuff. But when, notice how there's never any video shown about, because it's all about men versus women. What about men who are dressing up as women and taking advantage of women in this way in these very vulnerable spaces? I mean, they can't even feel comfortable in their dorms. They can't even feel comfortable. It's just ridiculous. The women said that if the sorority wanted to admit men, then they should change the organization formally through the proper processes. I also think this is a bait and switch. I mean, when you join a sorority, I mean, when you rush and you join a sorority and you make that kind of commitment, it's it's not, I mean, that's a huge investment of your time, a major investment of your time and your emotions into this and getting to know these women. And if the sorority is going to change this after the fact, that's a bait and switch to me. I mean, they should have let these women know. You don't just do this in the middle of it and say, oh, by the way, women, now we're going to admit men who identify as women. You can't do that to sorority sisters. You can't do that to women who joined in good faith thinking that this was going to be a sisterhood. It's not a sisterhood when one of them has a schlong, okay? That's a dude. It's a dude. It would be the same if a woman tried to intervene in a man's space. It would be a bait and switch. It would be a complete bait and switch. But all these accusations, I mean, this guy's lucky he didn't get his ass kicked. I got to tell you, these are nice ladies, because I think I'd have beaten them upside the head with a frying pan. I really would have. Someone who is preying upon you in your space like this. So this Artemis Langford, and he's actually, and you know, and especially some of the sorority sisters who are coming in, they are... younger than him, obviously. The judge had rejected the sister's lawsuit. They said that the court isn't going to define a woman. Well, the court doesn't need to define what a woman is, because science has already done that. Science has already defined what it is. Science knows what they know what a woman is. Science knows what women are. But the organization's bylaws don't define what a woman is. And this guy's I think the women should leave. Honestly, they should just leave the sorority at this point. Every one of them should leave. This is insane. But they said that Kappa Kappa Gamma has over 250,000 members in 140 chapters. And they're like, we're not going to discriminate against gender identity. No, you are discriminating, though, because what you're doing is you lied to the women who joined your sorority and thinking that it was a sisterhood. And now you're going to go back and try to retcon that. That's not fair. A couple of other things to touch on here. Talk about some of this law and order stuff. We were discussing this a little earlier. This situation with Liberty Safe. So Liberty Safe, they advertise themselves and they used to advertise on the show. I don't believe that they do anymore, which that's not going to make a difference in me commenting on this. They said that they were advertised as America's number one heavy duty home and gun safe manufacturer. Now, they said that they issued this statement late last night where they said that they gave the FBI an access code to a customer's gun safe in response to a request on August 30th. And they said that the request came, Jennifer Van Law at Red State has a really good chronological timeline of this. The request came during a raid on this guy's home. It was a guy who attended the protest on January 6th, right? And the protests, people broke, there were people who decided to get violent and carry out a riot. Now, this individual, the incident to which they are referring, this individual was apparently there and they were investigating Nathan Hughes. He's based out of Arkansas. And so they were looking into his attendance at the protests, and there's video of them apparently like arriving at his house and all of this stuff. They had him in handcuffs, etc. He's a small business owner, and they said that the FBI turned off his security cameras, they unplugged his internet, they went through his house, then they called the manufacturer of his Liberty gun safe and they got the passcode. Now, the individual, because I was looking at some of some of the charges, they said that he was interfering enforcement there the day of the riot, etc. And but they said that they got his access code, and I'm trying to figure out, because I just keep thinking of how Apple like wouldn't even cooperate with our government. Do you remember, this was, I think this was in San Bernardino. Do you remember the terrorists, the couple who opened fire at a holiday event and killed a number of elderly people? It was a guy who was upset, and he, remember this whole thing, and they had been getting these deliveries and making weapons in their garage, and neighbors saw what was happening, but they didn't want to report it because they didn't want to be accused of being racist and all this stuff. And they had gotten, like, the, I guess the feds had gotten their phones, and the feds had asked Apple if they could unlock the phones, and the phones, and Apple said no, they weren't going to cooperate. And there was that was a huge news story. And I mean, that was a big thing. They went back and forth on that forever. Liberty Safe was like, well, just show us the warrant and here we go. So my thing is, they said that they have access codes depending on the model. And I guess they're different from the model. I don't know if it's just ubiquitous for every safe. I guess if there's a battery, depending on what type you have, if the battery fails, but you have keys. Like, even if the battery fails, you still have keys. So I just don't understand why they still have those codes, why they have those access codes. And why they, it doesn't, I'm just curious as to why they didn't resist it a little bit more. Why did they even have to be involved is my other question. Like, why did Liberty Safe even have to be involved in this? Because, I mean, if the feds wanted to access it, couldn't they just cut into the damn safe? Right? Why did they even have to get Liberty Safe involved? And I'm just curious if Liberty Safe, because it's not up to them to decide whether or not a warrant is legitimate. We have seen a lot of it. What happens if it's a red flag situation where you actually don't have to have the same standard, that same evidentiary standard that you would in an actual court of law? What if it's something like that? What if it's, are we actually going to trust that every request? Because I sure as hell don't, not with red flag and a bunch of this other stuff. I sure as hell do not. I do not trust a government that can't even prosecute the first son for lying on a 4473 to be fair with every other American when it comes to demands as to what is in or not in their gun safe. So I'm just curious, where do they get off being the ultimate arbiters of what is or is not a valid, legitimate warrant or request within a warrant, number one. Number two, why in the hell do we even have access codes for every safe? I don't know. There's a lot of discussion on this. There should not be any kind of backdoor entry, period.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I just got to shake my head at this headline and wait until you hear it. So there was a carjacking attempt in a Harris Teeter parking lot. It was a victim driving a Kia Soul, but the three men who carjacked the dude didn't get very far. This is in Fairfax County because they couldn't drive a stick shift. I'm not kidding. Like they as the stick shift actually foiled their whole carjacking attempt. Steve, can you drive a stick shift? You wouldn't carjack anybody, number one, but you also wouldn't carjack a stick shift, I would imagine, too. I mean, wouldn't you know, before you carjack somebody, like, before I steal this car, can I drive it? Is it something I'm going to be able to operate? I don't know. America's small towns are disbanding police forces, citing hiring woes. Some small towns in America are losing their police forces entirely. In fact, Goodhue, Minnesota, there was one that's been profiled by the Associated Press. Their police chief warned the town city council that unless pay and benefits improve, they're not going to be able to find any new officers. And then he ended up quitting because nothing changed. And his few remaining officers also quit because they just, I mean, they could barely make a living. It's a police officer shortage. Of course, you know, that happened after the riots and the attack on police and the denigration of law enforcement. And now you have small towns. It's weird because you have this exodus from the cities going to smaller towns, but yet you still have a number of smaller towns that aren't able to have their own police. And so they turn it over to their county sheriff or the neighboring town or even the state police in some respects. Air Canada apologizes after kicking off flyers who didn't want to sit and vomit for 5 hours. Yeah. By the way, I have an update. You know, there's photos and video of the hot snakes on a plane story from yesterday. I'll keep you up to date on that. Yeah. Stick with us.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
As we head into the fall, we have more tools and systems available today to help communities this fall and winter season, including safe, updated vaccines that will be available mid-September, widely available at-home COVID tests, widely available effective treatments, which can reduce the risk of severe illness, hospitalizations, and death. We will be encouraging, as I have said before, Americans to get their updated COVID-19 vaccine in addition to their annual flu shot and also RSV vaccines, as you all know.
Golly. Karine Jean-Pierre yesterday. They're still pushing it, still pushing it. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. Lovable curmudgeon. And you can listen to the program. We'll pull this up. You can listen to the program across the country. You can also stream it and listen YouTube, Facebook, watch the simulcast, Channel 347 DirecTV. I just dropped new audio in Slack, by the way, gents, because Karine Jean-Pierre also was saying that the abrupt exit that Biden had yesterday from the Medal of Honor ceremony, because we were like, was that planned? Why was that so weird? She says that it was planned, apparently, and that, yeah, I don't think that's, it didn't look like it. Listen.
The president took off his mask, as I said he would, to deliver incredibly powerful remarks about this captain, Captain Taylor, and what he did in service to our nation. And he wanted to honor the captain. And for a brief time afterwards, he also didn't have his mask on, as you just laid out. And he left as planned, as it was planned. He left when there was a pause in the program in order to minimize his close contact with attendees who were about to participate in the reception.
No, we don't believe. I don't believe that. I don't think he was doing that at all to minimize his close contact. I don't think that that's what it was at all. I think he just forgot what he was doing and walked right off, wandered off like a kid would. But that's a real nice spin that you put on it. But I don't think it's going to last. It just looked awkward. I mean, it looked weird. And it also kind of undermined, like, because she had said she was asked about the mask at the press avail. And she said, well, he said that he was going to, this is just moments ago, he was going to take it off so he could deliver these very powerful remarks. If you're making a speech, then it doesn't. I'm just trying to follow their logic, because their logic is they have to wear masks that 80 some odd studies have proven, there's no question, are ineffective at preventing the transmission of this virus due to the size of the virus particle itself. But furthermore, their own rules are that if they're inside, they have to mask up. But he was delivering some quote-unquote powerful remarks, so they don't have to mask up. I guess that's doesn't make any sense. I'm just trying to follow their logic here. It's just, honestly, all of the talk about, I mean, just seeing the way that he was yesterday, it was weird. And then hearing all of this discussion from Kamala Harris about, yeah, she would be ready to step up and assume the presidency should anything happen. Oh, my gosh. Like, nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see that. But what this does is, I think, more so this complicates their theater about masking and fear mongering as it relates to this, the new variant, which we talked about yesterday with Dr. Robert Malone. He called it fear porn, which I think is correct. So you had the White House just remind everybody about the established rules on masking when you're in the White House. They ignore that. They ignore their own rules during a ceremony where you could argue the recipient of the award is considered to be at a higher risk of coronavirus since he's elderly. He's in his 80s. Biden is too. I mean, he left. I just want to point out, he left the ceremony before the ceremony had actually finished. I just think he just kind of mentally clocked out. I think that's what it was. I mean, I think he just actually mentally clocked out because it was at the end of the day. And I think that's what he did. I think he was just done. I mean, when he left, the people who were there, even the press who were there, because the press has a copy of the schedule. They understand how things are going to go. They've covered these things before. We've seen these Medal of Honor ceremonies before. And it was just unusual to see the President of the United States leave like that. It was weird. So I think he mentally clocked out. That's what I think it was. And I also think it complicates their narrative on masking that they're trying to push, even, you know, at the school level with kids' schools. I talking about Law and Order a little bit. And this whole story with Liberty Safe. And I was looking at this story. So keep this in mind. So they have I'm going to lay the stories out that I'm looking at for you. And we're going to put this together in a fun puzzle. So you have the feds that raided this Arkansas guy because he was there at J6. And they said that he had obstructed enforcement, etc. They raided his house. They got into his Liberty Safe, because apparently Liberty Safe gave them, after they saw the warrant, gave these people access codes. Everybody's now worried about whether or not it's a safe, that if they have a Liberty Safe, that their stuff is actually safe in it. You had the other guy, this Enrique Terrio guy, who was sentenced to 22 years for what they said was seditious conspiracy. It's the longest for any January 6th defendant. They convicted him of engaging in seditious conspiracy. They said that because he was apparently another member, Dominic Pozzola, was acquitted of seditious conspiracy but convicted on other charges. He got a 10-year sentence. This guy got a 22-year sentence for everything with J6. I want to kind of go back to, because I'm also looking at the story of people who are being prosecuted who are pro-lifers, who were merely peacefully protesting, and they're being prosecuted for this. Do you remember what the left said of the riots back in 2020? Do you remember how they were described? Because I remember a letter that had been sent. Let me pull this up. The way that I had heard it said so often is they were saying that it was the riot is the language of the unheard. That's what they were saying on CBS. And they were quoting Martin Luther King Jr. in this 1966 interview with Mike Wallace. And they were applying that to the rioters in 2020 after during the Floyd riots. And this was also something that a lot of Democrats had said, that people are rioting because they're unheard, etc. There were people who were who took part in burning down entire communities. And there was one riot, and I'm looking at my notes on this. There was one riot in particular where this one individual, a man had been killed during a riot. There was a fire that had been started. It was in a pawn shop. It was on May 28th, 2020. And some of the rioters had broken into this pawn shop. They had ransacked the store. And this one writer, Monty Lee, he was from Rochester, Minnesota. He had been sentenced 10 years in prison. It was a Black Lives Matter riot in Minneapolis. And he put an accelerant, poured it all over the pawn shop, and lit it. Obviously, it went up in flames. And video showed him saying, and I quote, "We're going to burn this bitch down," end quote. And then, according to other videos, they were talking about all the places that they were going to hit next. You know, because the left said that the riot, you know, all of this stuff apparently is the language of the unheard. Well, a woman, days later, reported that her son was missing. A 30-year-old man who had five children, his name Oscar Stewart, the police were searching for him. They found his car near the burned down pawn shop. And when police went and searched the rubble of the burned down pawn shop, they discovered the body of the 30-year-old father of five. So this individual, Monty Lee, he had convictions prior for assault. He had violated protection orders he had convictions for burglary, all kinds of stuff. Now, remember, he's on video literally pouring accelerant on the floor of a pawn shop and setting it on fire, saying they're going to, quote, burn this bitch down. He said that. There's videos of them doing this. He burned down a building that killed a guy. And he got one count of arson, and he faced 20 years in prison. But Democrats intervened, and he only got, he got a very good deal. He got 10 years. He got 10 years. The Department of Justice, on January 14th, 2022, said, yes, you know, we understand that the guidelines for sentencing require that he be given 235 to 240 months in prison, but please show some leniency. He had, yes, he committed one serious crime, and it cost a man his life, but he didn't mean to do it. That was the Department of Justice's, it's from Alpha News, sentencing memorandum. And they said that, well, why, you know, his case is extraordinary, and that's why you should have leniency. And why is his case extraordinary? His case is extraordinary. And this is when they cited, a riot is the language of the unheard, in their letter, in their memorandum. The DOJ. That rioting is the language of the unheard. So that's what made this extraordinary. Therefore, you need to demonstrate some leniency towards this man. So he got 10 years. And I just want to compare that to the sentencing that this dude got, 22 years. He didn't kill anybody. I mean, in fact, the only person who was killed by a Capitol Police officer. She was an unarmed veteran. But this dude didn't kill anybody. I mean, you can dislike, you know, his beliefs or his associations, but that's not what we use as a measure of how egregiously someone violated the law. And thank heavens we don't, because then you would get someone like me in elected office and I would just use it. I would turn into Gladriel with the one ring and I would wreak complete tyranny upon everyone I dislike. So why this guy? He gets 22 years. He didn't set a fire and kill people. But the BLM rioter who set a fire on video, laughing about how they were going to burn this down and talking about the other places that they were going to burn down, the DOJ, Biden intervened on his behalf, asked for leniency, 10 years. Now you tell me there's not two tiers of justice. And then explain to me why anyone should respect the rule of law, which I kind of think is what the left wants us to do, to not respect it, and in the Republic entirely. I'm torn.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This is literally the second time in, I think, 3 years or 2 years that this kind of story has happened. So a Florida man was arrested because he tried to run to London across the Atlantic Ocean in a homemade hamster wheel. Not making it up. U.S. Coast Guard intercepted Reza Baluchi about 70 miles off of Tybee Island, Georgia, on August 26. They said that the 44-year-old marathon runner refused to leave the vessel for days and sadly had previously threatened to kill himself. Now, he has tried three similar... I bet he was the guy then that was in the story. He's tried three similar voyages before, all of which ended in Coast Guard intervention. The makeshift contraption that he was using, it's shaped like a wheel, has paddles that are designed to propel it forward as the wheel revolves. And so they said that it was not safe. It was manifestly unsafe. And they were prepared. This was like right before the hurricane arrived. So they got him. He refused to leave his vessel. Then he said he had a bomb on board, but he was arrested. He had no bomb. And he was... drifting 30 miles south of his departure point. So, yeah, he had to be rescued in 2021. Yeah, he tried to do this before in 21. He also tried to do it again before that in 2014. I don't know why. I get this guy has a death wish. I think he needs help. Good heavens. Let's see this. A man gets 12 years in prison after he drove his truck through an Ace. Oh, there's an Ace Hardware. I like those Ace Hardware commercials. That's not the story. This guy drove his truck through one. A Florida man named Lionel Medina got a 12-year prison term. He rammed his truck into an Ace Hardware. He was just sentenced, though, yesterday. The crime happened last year. It was all caught on camera. He forced his way into the store and was able to grab as much stuff as he could before fleeing the scene. Thousands of dollars of stuff. Clearly, because it was all on video, they were able to easily identify his vehicle and identify him, and they arrested him, and now he's going to the pokey. But, oh my gosh, like, everything is on camera nowadays. It's the dumbest way to, were you wanting to get caught? Like, I don't even understand. Like, what is the point of that? I mean, were you wanting to get captured? Doesn't make any sense. Let's see, this, one guy got an assault charge because he repeatedly threw Snickers at a manager's face in Walgreens because he was denied the sale of cigarettes. I got to save this one for you tomorrow because I don't know how many Snickers he threw, but it was a lot of them. He ended up getting arrested. We have another hour on the way. Don't go anywhere.
But let me...
CDC does not seem to be responding to the data.
I'll say this, and you're talking about schools. CDC, they're the experts. They use science to come forward with their guidelines, and it is important that we allow them to do their work. And we believe that we are in a different place. And all you had to do is look around to where we are today and where we are when we first started in this administration. And that's because we put forth a comprehensive plan with tools to make sure that we dealt with the pandemic, that we dealt with COVID in a real way.
Oh, boy. No one takes any of that seriously. I mean, I don't. Do you? Nobody takes it seriously. It's all theater. All of this is theater, especially after we watched that ceremony and he didn't have a mask on. Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour. Dana Lash here with you. And you can listen to the radio program coast to coast. You can watch the simulcast of the radio program on YouTube. Always good discussion. Facebook and Channel 347 DirecTV. Sign up for the newsletter over at Substack. I got some new stuff coming at you. It's called Chapter and Verse. And you can also find us on Facebook and YouTube as well. Like and subscribe. Okay, so with the coronavirus thing kicking up, everyone pushing this again. Here we are again pushing this. I would like to... I don't want to see the whole... I'm just going back to the lockdown and everything with when the pandemic was kicking into gear and the lockdown was taking place and oh my gosh and we have to change how we vote and everything else and it just there's a I And we're still, I think, dealing with the ramifications of that, obviously. This is an election that's way too serious for a lot of the cult of personality stuff that I'm seeing. Because it's like the cult of personality with the masking. This allegiance to, it's a religion. I mean, if your belief in this stuff, it doesn't have any scientific basis, then you believe in a fairy tale, then this is fantasy. There's no science to support that the masking reduces transmission. If you want to wear a public pacifier like that, if you want to wear a face painting, more power to you. But we will get angry and I will get physically forceful if you try to mandate that for everybody all across the country. We're not doing this again. We're not doing it again. I'm done. I'm also kind of done with this. I want to switch gears here because those remarks were from Karine Jean-Pierre just moments ago with the White House press avail. I was watching a little earlier today. An interview, and it was Vivek Ramaswamy who was giving an interview, and he was talking about China. And I'm wondering why, with everything that we know now, with all of this, because when you're looking at someone's businesses and where businesses are domiciled and, you know, who owns what and what they got a stake in, it takes a little bit to unravel it. And now that we're like getting, because all of it's public, I mean, you just have to dive into it, know where to go. You have to know it exists and know where to go. And I'm wondering why, with everything that we know now about his businesses and his investments, like he has a lot of subsidiaries with communist China, why no one is asking him the question of how, whenever, especially when he delivers a prepared remark about how he would lead the nation in decoupling from China and we would decouple from China and he would be very aggressive against that. How can you profess to lead the nation in doing that when you refuse to do it with your businesses? I mean, this is nothing that I'm saying is hyperbole, and it's not conjecture and it's not gossip. I mean, it's literal, actual fact with financial records that are publicly accessible if you just know that you can look them up. Now, I've written about this before, and I talked about this over at Substack. I asked, will the real Vivek please stand up? And I will disagree with candidates. I mean, I call balls and strikes. There are some that I like, and then if the ones I like do something, I will disagree. If they do something I dislike, I'll totally disagree. Because I don't owe anyone. I hate this idea that you owe a politician your allegiance. I cannot stand that. The politician owes the voter their allegiance. If you like someone, you like someone. But that doesn't mean that you have to blindly rubber stamp everything that they do. And I honestly don't think enough has been asked of this guy. And I don't understand why people don't ask him this question. I mean, an interview today, and he's sitting here going on China. And I'm like, why is there no pushback on what he's saying here? Now, this is what's interesting. I don't know if I would, he's an associate. I don't know that I'd call him a friend. He's the guy who actually first called me because way back when in 2016, the Trump campaign had wanted to work with me. And I was like, oh my gosh, you cannot have a loudmouth like me working for, and he's, you know, come on. And I've known him, nothing against him personally. I describe myself as such. He's a loudmouth. You can't have two loudmouths work together. Like it would do a disservice to your campaign. If I was a grifter, I would take the job because it would be easy to do. I'm like, but I think it would actually be a disservice to the campaign, and I would like to win. Thank you. But the guy who had reached out initially was Sam Nunberg. He was Trump's right-hand man for years. Trump didn't go anywhere without Sam Nunberg. And he has this editorial, and I just literally read it this morning. He has this editorial where he says Ramaswamy's campaign dials back the candidate's claim that he can't travel to China. Now, I think it's interesting that this was Trump's right-hand guy who is writing this, because he said he was focusing on this tweet that the campaign had tweeted out where it said that Vivek cannot personally travel in China because of the tough positions that he publicly adopted. And then Ramaswamy said, yes, I can't travel to China. Oh, yes, we can't travel there, et cetera, et cetera. And then when the campaign was asked whether or not he was formally barred, the communications director said, oh, well, he was just told that he shouldn't go there. He wasn't actually banned, which was apparently the language that they were using. And that's kind of weird because he literally has business with them, a lot of business with them. And I talked with you about this before, ROI, Return on Investment, Roivant Sciences. And the subsidiary of that is Datavant, and that's the company that was creating the digital database for coronavirus that he wanted to sell to governments. Roivant Sciences, they expanded. They actually now exist in China. And in fact, just a couple of years ago, he was in Shanghai at a conference for it. And his team finally admitted that, oh, yes, well, okay, well, he did business. He didn't just did business. It's not past tense. I mean, he owns a significant stake in Roivant Sciences. He has investments with these Chinese subsidiaries. So it's weird. NBC had actually reached out after the campaign was saying that China banned him. And the Chinese embassy spokesperson said, we've never banned him. I mean, they, for crying out loud, the guy does business there. That's really disingenuous. I don't know why. I don't know why he's saying this. I don't know why he's misrepresenting this. Because this is another thing that he has flipped and flopped on. I mean, there's a ton of stuff that he's flipped and flopped on. Whether it's Taiwan, whether it's, you know, it's certain aspects of foreign relations and aid on in-person voting. You know, he voted by mail, by the way. Vivek Ramaswamy is one of the guys who voted by mail. I don't know if you guys knew that, but he did. There's a difference between absentee ballots and then voting by mail. I know you guys realize that, and that's what I'm talking about. I mean, this was a guy who wanted, who backed Bernie Sanders, and I wrote about this at Substack when I started diving. And it's not just me. There are other people. And I also reject that whole thing. Like I said, I met Jeff Rowe one time. I literally don't ever talk to Jeff Rowe. And the idea that that anyone who has done research for 20 years would have to be given anything from anyone, especially when it's already public, is insulting. And only the dullest of morons would believe it. And I will get incredibly offensive and insulting to people who try to question my or anybody else's integrity, especially when we've been out here cashing the checks that these politicians write with our asses, whether it's on Second Amendment or other issues. End of. So, this, I mean, he was all for taxpayer funding for, you know, mask mandates, all this other. And now it's this, oh, well, I was banned in China. Well, you weren't actually banned in China. You do business with China. You have business interests in China. And now the campaign is having to walk it back again. Another thing they have to walk back. Now that this is more widely known, I have a really hard time taking anyone seriously who has this guy on and doesn't ask him these questions. Like when he was talking about Taiwan, for instance, and he's like, yeah, well, until the United States becomes self-sufficient, until we're able to manufacture semiconductors on our own, then we'll be really aggressive and we'll have all our military go out there and we'll have a buildup and we'll start record. We're not going to do this strategic ambiguity, which I swear to you, he did not even know until just this month. We're not going to practice strategic ambiguity. And then he's like, well, then when the United States has our own semiconductor capacity, our manufacturing ability, then we're just going to go back to the status quo, the way things were. You honestly think that once you disregard strategic ambiguity that China's going to go back? He has no idea. And furthermore, why has no one asked this guy how in the hell the United States is going to become independent in terms of manufacturing semiconductors without a massive government handout, massive government intervention? Not a single person on cable news has asked this guy. Not a single person in broadcasting has asked this guy this question since he's been saying this. There have been tons of opportunities. I've seen really smart people sit down with this guy, and all these damn people are too scared of their own redacted shadows to ask the hard questions. Why? Why do they have such a disrespect for you, the audience? Why? It aggravates me. I get the same BS every time I see it. I get the same stupid interview with the same dumbass questions from the same people every single time. And I'm so tired of it. Where are the hard questions? Why is nobody asking this guy this? Wait a minute. You're talking about leading us, decoupling any relations or manufacturing, dependence in manufacturing from China. How can you profess to do that when you yourself have business in China that you refuse to end? Are you going to give up all of the stakes in your companies that do business in China? Because you're financially benefiting from the CCP right now. Why has that not been a response? Is there a reason why? Am I to believe that people who host programs. This is why I don't have researchers. Because I want to, I mean, we have Lorraine who writes at Chapter and Verse, and we have Kane and Steve, and then Juan handles stuff, the visual elements and the things for the simulcast over at the First. But, you know, it is not even comparable to, like, the production staff of, you know, a major news show where they will have literally a producer for an individual segment. Every segment has its own producer. You'll have six or seven producers for one show. You're telling me that no one has come across these financial interests that this candidate has with CCP and that they can't give that to the host and say, maybe ask this question. Why? And then I get aggravated at the stands out there who go, well, you know, you can't ask these questions. Why are you at, you know, you can't ask these questions, you know, blah, 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 et cetera. Like, why are you so critical? Because it's a blanking primary and it's my right as an American citizen whose family shed blood to protect the rights that we enjoy. If you have a problem with that, the good Lord has not given me enough middle fingers to issue a response. Any other questions? I'm so tired of it. I think this election, this primary is performative theater. I think that we live in an era where we have information at our fingertips and our populace is encouraged to be as stupid as possible. Everyone is diluting their attention spans down to the length of a TikTok video. Everyone thinks Twitter is real life. It's asinine. I almost can't stand getting on social media anymore. I don't give a rat's ass about your sandwich. I don't even care what grade your kids are going in school. I just don't care. I don't care anymore. Anybody else with me? That's why I hardly post on Instagram anymore. I'm just done. No one takes anything seriously anymore. And this is reflected in the way in which we are engaging with elected officials who want to make serious decisions about your life, about your family, about your money, about your security.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I don't know if I want to believe all this because I really feel like there's like this effort to get us all to eat bugs. So the headline from New York Post, cancer in people under 50 surges by 79%. And they say the Western diet is to blame. Red meat and alcohol. What? They said, yes, it's burgers and booze. The steady increase in cancer cases amongst young people could be chalked up to red meat, salt, and alcohol, according to new research from BMJ Oncology. They analyzed data from 1990 and 2019, finding a 79% surge in new cases in people under 50 over the course of three decades. I think people do need to take care of themselves, obviously, and everything in moderation, but we're not eating bugs. I don't know. I don't know. Do you trust anything anymore? It makes you not trust anything anymore. No one wants to trust anything because you can't. France makes a fresh bid to ban meat names for plant-based food. We'll talk more about that here coming up. I went long last segment. Stay with us.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
You mentioned holding people accountable. Obviously, a big issue right now is the indictments against President Trump. Is that part of what you mean about holding people accountable for January 6th?
Well, as you know, I spent the majority of my career as a prosecutor. I believe that people should be held accountable under the law. And when they break the law, there should be accountability. And I support it when it happens.
Mm-hmm. And does that extend to the former president?
Huh. Well, everyone has their right to their day in court. Mm-hmm. But absolutely, people should be held accountable. But under our system of law, right? Let the evidence and facts take it where it may.
If this reporter had some beans, he would have asked, what about the current president? What about the current president's son? He would have asked that. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this third hour. That's the VP, Kamala Harris, who, yes, I love how all the focus is on the J6 stuff. When she talks about accountability, keep in mind that this was the same woman who promoted this bailout fund of those who were involved in burning down parts of Minneapolis and elsewhere I mean, this was all in with the Floyd riots, and she was out there. She promoted all of that. She promoted the bailout fund of these criminals that were burning down entire towns. I mean, I'm just, why? How are you sitting there across from her and you're not asking that? I mean, just out of wanting to get clicks for yourself, wouldn't you ask that? Oh, by the way, Madam Vice President, would you also apply that to the president's son? I mean, except, you know, the 4473 charge, that ran out because they played around so long with that. They're trying to run the other ones out past the statute of limitations. Just, you know, why wouldn't you ask that? Just this is a basic question, $1 million question. So the J6 stuff, we were talking a little bit earlier about the one guy, what's his name? Terrio, who had been given 22 years. He wasn't even actually at the Capitol. I was thinking about this. He had been detained for something else, and he wasn't actually even in the Capitol. And what gets me is that they said that because he got the longest sentence, 22 years. They gave him 22 years. But the guy who was a BLM rioter who burned down a building in Minneapolis, and they recorded videos of themselves burning down the pawn shop that killed a man, a father of five, and the Biden DOJ intervened and asked for leniency. And so instead of 20 plus years for killing a man, the guy got 10 years. Yeah, Monty Lee. Yeah, he ended up getting 10 years. So this guy, Terrio, Enrique Terrio, gets 22 years, and he wasn't even there. He wasn't even in D.C. He wasn't at the Capitol at all. I think what they're jailing him for is because they say he's a neo-fascist. I don't trust the government's characterization of anything because I think our government is neo-fascist. I don't trust their characterization of anything at all whatsoever because these are the same people that characterize all of us as law-abiding Second Amendment practitioners. They say that we're domestic terrorists. I mean, Kathleen Rice, a sitting member of Congress, name-checked me as a domestic terrorist simply because I was speaking out for women being able to defend themselves against rapists using their lawfully owned firearms. Heaven forbid we don't consider the rapist feelings. So, yeah, I don't really take the government's definitions on things, especially because they can't even define a woman. So how in the hell can they define even fascism? I just wanted to note the difference in sentencing here. They convicted this guy just because of his beliefs, honestly. They kept saying, oh, seditious conspiracy, and they were accusing him and his group of organizing things online. But do you remember when they actually, when Twitter and I think Facebook too had worked with the FBI to determine how much, if any, of their platforms were used to organize anything with regards to J6. You remember what they came back? And the IG also had a report on this, that nothing was organized. And it sure as hell wasn't organized on Twitter or Facebook or using social media. So I'm just curious. To me, it just seems like they threw this guy, they threw the hammer on this guy because because of his associations. That's what it seems like. I mean, how does this guy get 22 years and the BLM rioter in Minneapolis who was on video setting a fire to a building that killed a man, he gets a reduced sentence because the Biden DOJ intervened on his behalf. Oh, and remember the letter that I was telling you, the memorandum that was written by Biden's DOJ, and this was in January of 2022, this was last year, they had said that it was an extraordinary circumstance. Because a riot is the language of the unheard, like actually citing the MLK Jr. quote that he gave in this 1966 interview with Mike Wallace. So that was special because he's D different. There's the difference. It's two-tier system of justice. There was an activist who was on social media saying that her uncle's murderer got less time than this guy. 22 years for seditious conspiracy. I think it's, they're like, oh, they were intent on keeping Biden out of the White House at all costs. That's not even good grief. I have no words. Now, speaking of government, we could have a shutdown, which I hope we do. I wanted to pull this up. I thought that Chip Roy made a very good point. And I wanted to share it. It was a very good point that he made, and that he was remarking on the hand-wringing that members of Congress are already doing because of this impending shutdown. You already saw John Cornyn, and some of them are Republicans like John Cornyn. You already saw him out there saying, oh my goodness, it's, you know, we could have a shutdown and the House is in a different universe from the Senate, because the Senate's run by Democrats. So yeah, I would say so. Chip Roy had tweeted just not even an hour ago, quote, swamp dwellers hand-wringing over a possible shutdown for a week or two are the same lunatics who shut down your entire American economy, schools, and healthcare for over a year, leaving people to die alone. Spare me. Hashtag no security, no funding. And it's true. Because, see, the House, a lot of the conservatives in the House, they want to withhold funding until we can actually have border security properly funded. I mean, we can sit here and give all kinds of money to Ukraine, but we're not going to do anything with regard to, you know, we're going to play politics with Maui. They're going to fund Green New Deal items, and they're going to fund taxpayer funded medically unnecessary genital mutilation surgeries for members of the military who believe that they're of a different sex. And that's, by the way, what Tuberville's taking a stand on, and he's being attacked by everybody. They're saying, oh, he's jeopardizing national security. We've never had a problem voting on this stuff before. The only problem that happened was when Democrats started insisting that this stuff be attached to it. And that's the real problem. When they demanded this, when they demanded that all of this stuff was, you know, you include this identity politics stuff or taxpayer-funded abortion on demand used as birth control as part of it. And, I mean, I think Congressman Roy makes a really good point here. If you shut down government, it's just Congress that doesn't get paid. But they didn't care when they were shutting down your jobs. They didn't care when you didn't get paid. They didn't care when you couldn't go and buy groceries. Did they? The same government that demanded that you can't go and earn a paycheck, but by damn, you better be paying Uncle Sam his tax, because they're not going to pause that. Oh, heavens no. The same government that told property owners that they had to allow people to live there for free and yet still pay the mortgage. Because, see, it was a rent moratorium, but not a mortgage moratorium. Oh, and then, you know, you don't have a tax moratorium either. You still have to pay all that. And then when people went to go and tried to make a living, they were arrested. Remember all of that? I do. You couldn't get a haircut because the government was threatening your hairstylist that if they cut your hair, they would have their license pulled. Restaurants couldn't open and serve people indoors because if they did, the government would send a safety inspector to shut them down and pull their licenses. I remember that. So when government shuts down, and Congress can't get their check, they're going to be upset. But when how many millions of Americans, when they couldn't get their checks because government shut them down, government didn't really care, did they? In fact, they made it harder for you, didn't they? So why should I care that government is shut down? Why? That's rhetorical, because I don't. I don't. And I'm not going to be manipulated into giving them a blank check for this stuff. And you shouldn't be manipulated either. And you're going to see some of these Republicans are going to be on there, and they're going to be terrified. They are going to be, they're already freaking out. Like people like John Cornyn, they're freaking out already. Oh my gosh. In an election year. They were saying this back in 2018 and it didn't work. They said this back in 2012 and it didn't work. Republicans have to stop being so damn afraid of messaging. And you know what? That should be their talking point. Do you remember, everybody, millions of people, when you had your pay stopped? Where was government there? They didn't care about shutting you down. And this, they work for us. If you're not doing your job and you're holding up military appointments because you want to fund scientific experimentation with medically unnecessary things using taxpayer dollars, then Oh, I'm all for stopping all of that. And that's you imperiling national security. It's you. You're the one who decided after all of these years to start making that a requirement to get your vote to pass it. Republicans should be out there pushing this truth every single chance they get, instead of giving any airtime to hand-wringing over, oh gosh, what if it shuts down? Oh, I hope it does. Oh, I hope gloriously that it does. You remember back? Remember back the last big shutdown that we had, and Obama had, they put the barricades on national parks. The woods were closed. You couldn't go out. Or how Chris Christie shut the beaches, but he went out because, you know, he had beachfront property, so he went out and enjoyed the beach. Remember that? I do. Yeah. Go ahead. FAFO. Try this again. Y'all see what happens. We got more to come.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
That includes our Secretary of the Defense, Austin, Secretary Austin, Secretary McDonough, the Army, the Secretary of the Army, Warmoth, Chairman Milley, and Senator Black, where's Senator? Senator Blackburn, and also Senator Hagerty, who all joined us today.
He could barely get through the sentence where he's acknowledging people. Like, what in the world? Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. Bye. We're wrapping up this third hour. He could barely get through the sentence. He just doesn't sound well. I just don't know how he can do this day after day after day. And it's weird that now all of a sudden Kamala Harris is talking about how she could be prepared to assume the presidency. It's just, I think that's why they're getting Gavin Newsom in the rings all wet, ready and waiting. Anthony Blinken is going to announce a new $1 billion Ukraine aid package during his Kyiv trip. He's expected to announce this package for Ukraine. He's taking a two-day trip, but only apparently a fraction of the money is going to go towards equipment and weapons. Huh? So they said less than 20% of the assistance. It's about $175 million. This is some from CBS and Wall Street Journal and New York Post. They said about $175 million earmarked to supply the defenders, some things that they desperately need to strengthen counteroffensive. And then the majority, though, is going to go towards economic and humanitarian efforts. So that's $1 billion package. And apparently the necessary weapons for their counteroffensive, including Abrams tanks and F-16s. How much? 700 per person in Maui. Okay. Okay. Yeah. And this was, by the way, this just is a week after he introduced a $250 million package of military equipment. That was on August 29th. And that was from the $6.2 billion of funds that were discovered after a Pentagon accounting error that just happened to overvalue billions of dollars of Ukrainian aid. I mean, just completely an accident, how that happened. Yeah, just an accident. That's it. In the meantime, Maui. They're gonna use Maui as a bargaining chip for the budget battle that we were just talking about. So very, very interesting indeed. Now, that's one of the things. So as that gets going, we're going to cover all of that. And I'm also curious, and just looking at a couple of other things that we have here, also curious as well, the economic numbers. They're going back and forth over recession. In fact, we are in a recession. Goldman cuts our recession chances to 15% on improved inflation. We're in a recession. Come on. I don't see it getting any better. We're going to talk about some more of the economy, get into some of those economic headlines tomorrow, because that is, I mean, especially as we go towards fall, and especially because Saudi Arabia has announced that they're extending the cut of gas. You know, they reduced the number of barrels They reduced the number of crew. They're cutting their resources. This is after Biden went with hat in hand. So as we roll towards fall, as we roll towards cooler temperatures, this is all going to start playing into it, and this is all going to start having an impact as we roll into an election season. All right, today in stupidity, Steve.
Hey, how we doing?
Hey.
Good. So Biden had a press conference about 15 minutes ago, and I'm glad I snagged this. And we heard from KJP all day about the mask thing, and he had to leave early. But now here he is not following his own orders.
Lord, buddy, let me explain to the press. I've been tested again today. I'm clear across the board. But they keep telling me because this has to be 10 days or something, I got to keep wearing it. But don't tell them I didn't have it on when I walked in.
Well, they can see it. I mean, it's like playing hide and seek with a little kid, and they just hide in the most obvious places. That does it for us today, folks. Make sure you sign up for Substack, Chapter and Verse. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.